Homespun Haints is a proud member of the Paranormality Podcast Network. We've all heard the phrase, live and let live. But how does that same philosophy apply when the other person is no longer alive? Or perhaps never was? Today, we speak with a man who has been seeing paranormal entities his whole life. And he's developed methods to, well, live with them. Hold on to your Ouija boards and listen to some tales today on Homespun Haints. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Homespun Haints. I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
Today on the show, we have a very good friend of mine, Franz, who is calling in from Sedona, which is really exciting. But we know each other from Atlanta, and he is very sensitive to spirits and demons, and he has seen all sorts of things. And he's been to my haunted office and has a few things to say about that, which we're going to share with you, our very special listeners. And realize why I have been kind of freaked out to work there ever since. Well, not really. I'm just like, okay, there's ghosts here. All right. And I know what they look like now.
Yeah. Oh no. Does one of them have long black hair?
Yeah, I did find that long hair in the rafters of my early 19th century building when I was painting. Like, they had taken off part of the wall and had it exposed, and I was painting over it, the exposed beams and things, and I found that like crusty old 200-year-old hair.
Oh, just glad you didn't find a cat.
Yeah, there you go. There might still be one there, I don't know. But yes, there's been a couple things that have happened. A couple weeks ago, I went out and I saw a white shape move up the stairs.
Like a body shape or like an orb?
It was like a cloud. I don't know any other way to describe it. It was substantial enough I could see it. Mm-hmm. And it was very fast. There's nobody upstairs right now. They are currently renovating it. And there was nobody up there.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I know one of the other people in the building has said that she's, I don't know if she's sensed it or seen a woman walking around the building, like inside the building after hours when she's the only one there, which fits with some things that you're going to hear today. And then yesterday, I was in my office working. The weather is beautiful right now, so there's no HVAC going. There's no AC or heat or anything going on. It's just perfect. We also had the windows closed. And I had a bag with my food in it that I had eaten, just sitting on my desk off to the side. And I'd sat like that, not moving, for 2 or 3 hours. And then I heard a noise, and I look over, and it was as if somebody was pushing it down on top. Just like, it just depressed right in the middle. And I looked over at my office mate, and she's absorbed in her work. Like, she doesn't notice. And I'm like, I'm not going to say anything. Just, I was like, all right. It's here. It's one trying to get into my romaine.
Steal your salad.
Steal your salad. Yeah. But what I wanted to tell you about, Diana, as if that wasn't interesting enough. This is pretty exciting. My husband saw a ghost.
Get out of town.
So do you remember at the beginning of DC's episode, our season opener, where I talked about waking up and seeing that shadow figure move across the room?
I still wonder about that, yes.
So 2 nights ago, my husband reveals to me, he woke up in the middle of the night, maybe about 3 or 4 in the morning, and he saw it standing at the foot of the bed, just looking at him. Now, he said it was tall, but what I saw was really short, maybe 4 feet tall. But we also have a bench at the foot of the bed. So I think maybe it was standing on the bench.
Oh, dang.
So, yeah. And of course, my husband, he's very logical. He's starting to believe. I think I'm wearing off on him. He told me about it. He's like, I think I saw a ghost. But also, part of me that's wearing off on him, he kind of saw it and went, oh, that's weird, and went back to sleep.
He just went back to sleep.
Yeah.
Did he just go, good night?
I guess.
How do you go back to sleep with something watching you?
He's been married to me too long.
Wait, what does that mean? He wakes up and you're just like staring into his eyes. Hi, honey. Good morning.
I never stop watching you. You can't leave.
Right. No, he saw it. And I think he just kind of had the same attitude I did when I saw the thing moving across the room, which was like, okay, that's not supposed to be there, but I'm really fucking tired. Oh. And maybe it's my imagination. Okay. You know, because you can rationalize things. But he remembered it a few days later. And also, it was definitely not a dream because he does not remember his dreams. He does not remember his dreams at all. He never has. Every once in a while, he will remember that he was having a bad dream or a nightmare, but he doesn't remember what it was about. He just remembers the emotions associated with it. Now, he did tell me that he had been having a nightmare, and that's what woke him up. He doesn't remember what it was about, but he was having a nightmare. He woke up. He saw this thing. He knew he was awake. It wasn't sleep paralysis because he was able to move. I asked him all of these questions. He was able to like move his hands and look around, and he looked at it and he thought, I'm going back to sleep.
That would not have been my thought. Oh my gosh. Next time grab a camera or something. This is too exciting. Right?
I know.
You got to document your side table man somehow.
I don't want it to be a demon. I think it's benevolent, or actually I get like kind of a trickster feeling from it. Like it's just sort of, I don't know, like hobgoblin-y, you know? Like yeah, just kind of messing around, but not evil, not malicious, not necessarily good, just kind of like,
I don't know. You know, I used to do that to my parents when I'd have a bad dream. I would go into their bedroom at night so that I could like tell them about my bad dream when I was very little. But my parents are both the most bizarre people to wake up in the middle of the night. You wake them up and they just like scream at the top of their lungs, both of them.
Oh, my mom does that too.
You can't just wake them up gently. You can't wake them up quietly. Uh-huh. If you wake them up in any way whatsoever that I knew how to do as like a 5-year-old, no, they screamed. And so I was terrified every time I went in there because I was terrified of my nightmare. And then I was terrified to wake up my mom because I knew that she'd scream, then my dad would scream, and then I'd scream, and then everybody'd be like, Diana! Go back to bed. What the hell? But I had to. Every time I was too scared to go back to sleep, I'd creep into their room and I'd stand at the foot of the bed and sweat and hyperventilate and watch them. Just stare at them while they slept. And inevitably they would wake up because I wasn't as silent. You know, 5-year-olds aren't as silent as they think they are. So I'm standing there at the foot of the bed getting nervous and sweaty and going, they wake up, scream. I don't know. I didn't know what was worse, the nightmare or my parents' reaction to waking them up. So I can kind of relate with your impish, trouble-making short dude that watches you as you sleep.
Yeah, maybe it's afraid to wake us up. Perhaps. It's like, I had a nightmare.
Oh, your ghost just wants to crawl into bed with mommy and daddy.
I think it's done that too. I mean, I told you how I felt something sitting on my feet before.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Mm. As long as it stops fucking with the audio equipment.
Right.
I'm okay with it.
Quit it.
You hear? Yeah.
Not allowed to come to bed with us if you fuck with the audio equipment.
Exactly. Mama has spoken.
There you go. Lay down the law. Yeah. I love it.
You know, demons love company. Oh, that reminds me of a pen I got from Ectogasm. It says, you're never alone if you have demons.
Oh, that's true. That's
really sweet. And I guess now would be a great time to tell everybody about the promo that we're running with Ectogasm.
Absolutely. Yes. If you go to ectogasm.net, that's like ectoplasm, but with a G instead of the PL, you can get 10% off every order over $35 with the promo code HAINTS. That's HAINTS.
All caps, because we scream HAINTS. HAINTS! Sorry.
All caps like your screams.
Anyway, please go check it out, ectogasm.net. You're going to love the stuff there. Like that pen I mentioned, cool face masks, a fanny pack shaped like an iridescent ghost. Some really cool stuff. And you'd be helping out some amazing artists by doing so.
Including us.
Yes. So please go check it out. And speaking of demons, Diana, we should bring on Franz.
Oh, you're calling him a demon too?
He is the opposite. He is such a sweet guy. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad to know him as a friend. He is just warm, loving, hilarious storyteller. You're going to love listening to him. But he's had some run-ins. He's had some run-ins. And he has a very interesting attitude towards those run-ins. So I think you're going to really enjoy listening to this.
Let's go.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Homespun Haints. I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
And today on the show, we have Franz, who is calling in from Sedona, Arizona, which is an incredibly spiritual place from what I understand. And I also understand that that has contributed a lot to a resurgence, if you will, of some of your own personal paranormal experiences, Franz. Is that true?
It is. You know, you can try to run the opposite direction, but you're never going to really escape from it.
Well, welcome to the show, Franz. We're very excited to have you tell some of your stories because I understand you have quite a few. And I haven't told Diana anything. I have heard some of your stories in the past, but I'm just going to give you the floor and let you start. Earlier, you were mentioning starting with birth. So you could start there if you'd like, whatever works for you.
Yeah. I mean, thanks to my mom, she says I was officially born crazy. So I'm going to take credit for that phrase there. But I'm originally from Atlanta. So shout out to all my ATL native people. I know we're a dying breed. Just moved out here to Sedona a few months ago and I'm loving it. And interestingly enough, the paranormal was something I tried to run away from most of my life. And it's something that just caught up with me. So it's kind of like I had my own journey of acceptance and resolve and finding my own way on dealing with it. Because, you know, it's a big world with lots of things that we see and don't see. And we got to make a community together is how I look at it nowadays. So I grew up, what 4-year-old child or 5-year-old child has a phobia of Egyptian mummies and believes that they're seeing ghosts of the Underground Railroad running around in their backyard?
No, I had a phobia of mummies. I still kind of do have a phobia of mummies. No, I hear you.
No.
Yes.
No.
We went to a display, like a Ramses the Great exhibit when I was 6, and it freaked me out so bad. I saw so many things I didn't want to see.
Yes, that was me. I would imagine like the basement in my house was the worst place possible. Whenever I went into the basement, I would immediately start seeing like all of these sarcophagi. I hope that's like the grammatically correct term of the Greek
it
plural.
Is.
Gotta show off some of these degrees, you know, with correct grammar. So I would imagine seeing that, and between being afraid of mummies catching me in the laundry room and being afraid of the ghosts of Civil War people and Underground Railroad people in my backyard, and telling my mom I think I see people with flashlights ushering slaves and soldiers out through the backyard. Yeah, so I got the crazy nuts label pretty early on.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. So you were actually seeing that?
Yes.
Do you think?
When you're 4, you don't really know all of these things or rhyme or reason behind it. And it wasn't until things got progressively more intense, it progressed to actually seeing spirits around people. So like I would go to middle school, I remember, and I remember seeing like some people's relatives around them. And they would be like, well, tell them that I left my shoe on this side of the door, whatever, and it's okay, and blah, blah, blah. And I would just get so annoyed because I felt like I was never alone, and not in a good way, like in a bad way. No privacy. So after about the age of 9 or 10, and you start opening up and you get invited to sleepovers with people and you tell them about the ghost that's outside of their garage, you kind of know that those are not societal norm things. So you learn to turn the freak button on and off and coexist in normality. And that began my journey of kind of trying to run away from it all until it opened back up in college.
I hear that's pretty typical with everybody who's very sensitive compared to their peers, that they have a huge period of denial, a huge period of just blocking it out and trying to pretend that it doesn't exist. And then eventually most of us come back around, you know?
Yeah. And I was pretty darn good successful at keeping the off switch completely cemented off until right around college. I went to school in University of Florida in Gainesville, and the downtown area is a very, very old area. And it was back then that it started opening up again, and I was like, oh no, it's happening. I have lived my life in normalcy from 10 to 19 now, and now all of a sudden I'm in someone's home, invited for a sit-down formal dinner, and I walk into their Victorian home, and there are ghosts everywhere in this location. And no one's talked to them. And I think people don't understand that, like, sometimes ghosts, all of them are not stuck in a time loop. Like, some of them are. Some of them do interact. And they're like, oh my God, you can see me. Look at me here. Look at me now. Look at me here. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm saying this. And it becomes kind of nerve-wracking when you're sitting trying to eat dinner and there's somebody sitting there like in your personal space and you have to ignore that it's happening. So that began the whole experience of it turning back on again, and it really started really more of a journey into my own acceptance and seeing the questioning of what did I think was real and wasn't real, because I didn't exhibit all the other signs of craziness. Believe me, I checked out a book and I went through a checklist. So I was like, well, I'm pretty cogent. I'm not having trouble sleeping at night. And I can tell the difference between when this is happening and not happening. And I'm not hearing voices in my head. I'm going to still check the sanity box on that end.
Can you go back a little bit and tell me a little bit about what it was like? Had turned this off, and then you walk into this house, and then suddenly you see people, dead people everywhere.
Yes. What was that like? And it was really kind of jarring at first, because as a kid, it was all Technicolor, like a regular person sitting in front of me. I'd see their full regalia that they were wearing. Oh, that's a good, that's a 10-point Scrabble word. I'd see their full regalia, what they were wearing, when they died, different things like that. And at this point, I wasn't quite comfortable. So I saw more of a silhouette and just general details. And over time, as I opened back up to the experience, it became more fleshed out, so to speak. And that actually led me for a period of time to explore more of, I guess, the ghost bug at then. So I actually took classes in paranormal resolve and communication, and came back to Atlanta when I moved back, and I went on the Roswell and the Decatur ghost tour. I don't know if either one of you have been on either of those two.
Oh, yeah.
Diana's in Tulsa, but I still dragged her to the Roswell one. I was like, you got to come on this one.
The Roswell one is super intense, especially if you're sensitive. So when we went, there is a white house that's back off of Mimosa that was a story of a young African-American woman who died in the house or something like that, that had a candle that would go on and off inside of the window that people would see. We got to the house, and so I'm starting to feel like what I call like a time tunnel. So there's some locations when there's a lot of concentrated energy, you can kind of see snippets of the time loop that exists there back in time, especially in areas that have a lot of history. Like here in Arizona, we have Flagstaff, and that's an old, really, really old town. And there are certain buildings here that are still original, and it's like the imprints of the era are trapped in some of the buildings. And so when you walk past, you can see like a shutter effect of the time bleeding through. I was standing there at the White House with the spirit inside with the candle, and I went with a group of friends, and I'm thinking one of my girlfriends is standing on my left side. And so I just start carrying on a conversation, thinking she's on my left. I never looked over to go see. I'm just talking to her. I'm like, do you see the carriage rides coming up here? Do you see like the glimpse in time back and hear the party that was happening that night? And she's like, yeah, it was a great night. And I'm like, yeah, this is so cool. And when people are like, who are you talking to? I look over to my right, and my friends are standing to my right. I'm like, oh shit, who is this girl? Because I never looked over to go see. I'm just talking to her. I'm like, I am talking to this motherfucking ghost. And I immediately freaked out, had my little mini freak out moment, because even though I had seen them again, I wasn't talking to them. I was still had my boundaries, until the next day I went home and she was inside of my house. So she had followed me home.
She's like, oh, I met a friend.
Yes, she followed me home. And at that point in time, I really didn't know what to do. So I called one of my friends who, she does a lot of paranormal investigations. I was like, well, what are you doing? You have a ghost follow you home. Because at this point, I'm 21 and I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this shit? I don't want to wake up and, you know, heaven forbid, have a relationship with someone and they come into the bedroom and then you see a girl standing over your bed while, you know, or when you're taking a shower and there's a girl standing in the bathroom. So no privacy notion. So she was like, why don't you just ask her why she followed you home? And I'm like, why did this novel thought never come to my head? Sometimes it's the simple things. And I sat there and I turned around to her and I didn't get her name because that was still too personal. I wanted to be a little anonymous. And she said to me, well, it was nice to, for the first time, not feel stuck there. Because a lot of people who come in, it's like they're playing the same routine. But the conversation that I had with her kind of made her be unstuck in the reel that she was reliving multiple times. And so I just said, do you want to have the option to be able to move on if you wanted to? And she said, that would be great. And that was when I got my first experience to where I literally saw this white light open up and she stepped into the light and there was a hand. And she went up and I saw like most of her life kind of somewhat like go through a replay before her. And I saw her kind of take more of a corporeal form and she waved goodbye. And I thought, I've got to be imagining this. This is for shit show. Like, this is not for real. Because no matter how many experiences you have, when something new happens, that always kind of makes you think WTF. So I'm thinking, I imagine this. I go back to sleep. 3 days later, I have a friend that is a psychic call me up and she says, I don't know what the fuck he did a couple days ago, but there's this spirit lady and she told me to call you and tell her that you met her on this tour and she said, thank you for helping her out. And I said, oh, no way. It was just kind of like a confirmation of an experience that this shit is really real and what we do matters. And we do interact on the world on a bigger scale than we know or imagine. And it completely shifted my viewpoint of paranormal and spiritual stuff from then on out.
Yeah, that is amazing.
So, and usually what I've learned from working with a couple of spirits is usually from that time period when they go up, you know, they can still come down and interact after a 30, 45 day period. So they're not locked there, but they kind of get acclimated. So then that led me to thinking about a lot of people really have ghosts in their home that they don't even know or acknowledge. And sometimes opening up that conversation for a relationship can have paid off benefits. And I give the example where I lived in Ackworth for a couple of years. And Ackworth is another very haunted area in Georgia. It's got really old homes in the downtown area, especially they tore a lot of them down. But I was living in one of those original homes built in the 1800s. And there was a ghost of a lady that was on the property who lived in, the house was so old, it had an underground cellar with the door that you had to enter in from the outside of the home to get into. They don't make them like that anymore. And she would just appear in and out of the house. And finally I said, what do you want? Because this is weirding me out with me just seeing you at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And she was just like, let's just talk. And we opened up a conversation and she actually became like a lookout person for the house. Whenever there were weird things that would happen in the neighborhood or there was weird storms coming in through the area, she had her little network of spirits and she'd be like, hey, there's a storm coming in, but we'll kind of help divert it away from you. We never had any major storm damage that came into the house. Anyone that ended up being like a weird person or that had bad vibes, they'd get to the house and after about 5 minutes, they'd have to go. I did a lot of interviews for people for a sales business there. And people who just, after I did their background, they would come back, they were shady people, or they had things in their background that were just not a good fit, or they were lying about a lot of things. They would always be the ones that felt uncomfortable. And I later asked her, I was like, did you have something to do with this? She's like, I got your back, boo. I'm paraphrasing because, you know, women from the Victorian age don't say boo, but
that'd be so cute if they did.
Yeah, I know, right? We should have some vocabulary lessons and let's teach current events, a current events ghost class. Let's do it. But it really became an issue of teaching me again of how you can live in partnership with something. Because I always say, the land's been here a lot longer than we have. Who knows what's taken place on this land? Who knows who's occupied this area before us? And for us to think that we just bought this 30-foot by 30-foot piece of house on this property or 7,000 square foot property, it's not ours. It doesn't belong to us. Like, our name might be on the deed, but the stuff that walks through that area still feels like they have an ownership right to it as well. And it's always better if a person can try to find an accord with what's in their home and build a relationship. Just like if you are moving into the area, if you go into a rough part of the neighborhood, you want to make friends with the rough people. Because if the rough people have your back, then no one else the fuck's going to bother you. And that's always been my viewpoint, is find the opportunity and the experience. Rather than going in and just trying to take some sage and clearing everything out and this house is clean. And, you know, you never know if there might be a friend in there for you, or you never know if there might be an opportunity in there for you. And sometimes it's about a shift or a change in perspective.
I love that. So I suspect that the house in Ackworth was not the last time that you saw a ghost.
Oh my God, no. From then on, it became a lot of other paranormal experiences beyond just ghosts, but that's, I guess, in another podcast subject matter.
I mean, are you talking demons or UFOs?
All of that above.
Oh, come on. Oh. Share it with us. Share it all.
How about on a repeat guest in a couple of months? How about that?
You're on.
Okay. All right. Okay. Sounds good. But you have seen demons? I just got to get that out there. You have seen demons?
Yes.
Is that what you're...
Yes. Especially places where there have been practitioners. Some people don't believe in this, but people who have practiced magic for a period of time and they work with different entities, it can leave an imprint on that area or that location, which leaves like a tear and a gateway for things to come back and forth in. And I had actually a building where I worked out of, and it was really, really scary for a period of time because I walked into this building and we will always hear people running up and down the steps. And it got so bad that one of the coworkers called the police twice because they thought someone had broken into, it was a duplex. They thought someone had broken into that part of the building. And the police came out, they're like, ma'am, there's no one here. The building is locked from the inside and out. We don't know what you're hearing. And she's like, no, I'm hearing people talking and I'm hearing people moving up and down. And it got to the point to where I started smelling this like boiled egg smell, sometimes like a sulfur smell. And then I started having feelings around the area of like kind of like paranoia, mild paranoia or mild fear. And whenever you start having like negative emotions in a space, it's usually not something positive that's going to be pushing those feelings out. I don't talk to or communicate with things if I perceive they are negative, because it's like you're not going to go to the con man and try to strike a deal when they're not there to help you out in any way. So that's where I draw the line. And I also know, I believe that this also still is not my territory. If it's above my pay grade, how do I live in balance with it? Even if it's a weird concept to think about, but they have a right to their space. I'm going to have a right to the space that I'm using, and we're going to find a way to dance around each other, if you will. So over about a period, month of time, my thing was, I'm not going to investigate it. I'm aware that there's something there. I'm just going to stay in my area and stay in my lane. And after about a month, I no longer felt like someone staring in the back of my head anymore. I no longer smelled the smells. I no longer had the creepy feelings or the vibes. It was only isolated to that other side of the property, on the other side of the duplex, not the part where my office was. Like, we reach an accord without communication, because it's so much of your intent comes off without you ever having to use words. Just like when you pass a regular person, you know kind of what their intent is. If you meet them, like, do you get a good feeling about this person? Are they here for my benefit or not? Everybody has a degree of psychic ability. They just keep it turned off. And everybody that's ever had a gut feeling or an intuitive knowing about something is proof that no one's really more special than anyone else. It's just to the degree that they've allowed themselves to open it up and experience it more. It's just like our regular senses. That's how I look at it anyway. I don't look at myself as being super duper special.
I don't know, Franz. Sounds like you are.
But confirmation on that experience happened a few months later, where there started being a number of strange experiences where the property owner started having negative things happen in her life. One of her friends came over from a very well-known church and said, "This, you've got a demon portal in this home." And I had already started hearing about the history about it. And I said to myself, I said, "I get the feeling that there was a witch who practiced magic here and she left the door open." Come to find out that there was a house that was right next door to it that burned down to the ground. And the lady who used to live there practiced hoodoo. And I didn't know this until one of her relatives actually walked into the building to purchase something. And she goes, "I drove past the property and this was my grandma's property that was right next door. And yes, she was the local hoodoo lady." And she would work spells. And I'm thinking, this is really not real. Because keep in mind, you know, I'm just having all this as a sense of knowing, no confirmation on any of this until she walks in and tells me what happened like 30 years ago to this area. And she used to summon spirits. It weirded the family out. And eventually the house just mysteriously burned down. And it was right next door to this one. And so this church person came in and I kept all that to myself and was like, "We're going to cleanse the property and we're going to push the demon out." And they came in with all this holy water and holy oil and a prayer team. And I told the person that came in, I had a really bad feeling. I said, "I really don't recommend you go in there." I said, "I think something bad's going to happen to you if you go inside of that building. I have a very sacred space in my heart for my sense of spirituality, but it is possible to overstep your boundaries, I believe, in some instances." And this man walked in and said, "I'm covered with the blessing, so nothing can hurt me." And I said, "Okay, sir, you enjoy it. I'm going to go back next door to my desk while you work." And that was when the demon came in, and I had never seen one fully manifest before. And it was like, "Is this person with you?" And I did not respond back verbally because I did not want to engage with anything negative. I just sent like a feeling of, "No, I've got nothing to do with this." Just like a feeling to the area, not direct one-on-one communication, because we might have an accord, but we're not friends. You know, like, I don't want to have your friends coming over and having a party in my office. So immediately I got the signal to like get the fuck out of there. And I took my lunch break early. I left. I came back and everything was stirred up in that location. The man had a stroke 2 days later out of the middle of nowhere with no health concerns or anything, like almost had an aneurysm.
Oh shit.
And no. The other person had a severe car accident. I mean, all of these things that just happened out of the blue. When I feel something in my gut, I always go with it. And my gut was like, "Do not be in this location when this is going on. Do not participate in it and just get the fuck out of Dodge." I'm glad I did. And it ended up being a lot of other things that happened as a result of that issue moving forward, where it still kind of is unsettled to this day.
You said you saw the demon. What did it look like?
So this one was really kind of polite and not wanting to show a full on figure. So it was more of like a black thin silhouette with really, really long arms. It had like clawed like appendages on the edge of the fingers. So it's like, imagine a tall man with arms that extend almost down beyond the knees, like almost like really super, super long looking. And their head was kind of tilted and they just had rows of teeth in their mouth. But other than that, they look like they're wearing like a suit and just like well-dressed and things like that. And I just saw red eyes in the middle of the shadow. So that was what I saw at that period of time. And I just did not engage any further.
Well, I love how you're talking about how it's like, you know, may have had this negative feeling, but it was in his space. Like that was his place. You had your place and you guys could coexist, even if maybe you had a different outlook on the world, as it were.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think that's highly respectful of you. I really love that. And you tried to warn those people. And, well, you know what? You should always listen to the psychic guy working in the office. He knows a thing or two.
Experience is the best teacher. That's how I look at it, because even though I have taken some classes, most of this stuff didn't come from book knowledge. It's just stuff that I learned through experience. I always tell people, no matter what anyone tells you, number one, question everything. What anyone tells you, to see if it resonates with your own sense of truth on the inside. And then number two, whatever you feel, even if it makes no logical sense, always trust your gut. Because your gut will never lie to you. And when you have those moments that something and someone on the inside tells you, run or get the fuck out of here, or it's not a good situation, always leave.
Mm-hmm. Well, so speaking of leaving and going to new places, do tell us about Sedona. Because I know that's a highly charged area. It's like a hotbed of spiritual activity from what I have heard.
Yeah, Sedona's a cool place. If you ever want to find a mix of people, we've got everything out here. We've got the people into UFOs. We've got the people into spirits. We've got healers. We've got ghost areas. Especially up in the mountains, I've generally found that the more you go into mountainous or higher elevation areas, usually you see more spirits in those areas too. I don't know why. I just seem to notice that. I had a friend of mine who, she had a severe kind of haunting in her home, and she didn't believe it until it got progressively worse. And I just would stop going to the house. I just would stop going because I was like, this house makes me uncomfortable. And again, even though I totally believe in respect, I totally believe in coexisting if possible, when your gut tells you, you follow. If something was like, this place is just off. And it got to the point where she woke up in the middle of the night and a glass literally slid all the way across the kitchen countertop, broke and shattered, and left just the bottom half of the glass standing completely straight up. Like, that's not possible. So after something falls and shatters on the ground, that it returns to a sitting upright position again. And this all happened in the span, like she saw it happening, sliding across. And that was when she went, okay, yes, yeah, something is definitely going up. Something's going on, because nothing, a glass doesn't slide 6 feet down your kitchen countertop.
Well, it does if your house is haunted. But right.
So we ended up having to facilitate a level of resolve for her. She had kind of ticked off the spirit that was living in her home and her property, like a mining ghost that she had picked up on one of her hikes that we found out.
Oh.
Yes. So she had ticked it off, because ghosts, people don't realize, can also be very, very territorial. That's why whenever you go to outside or a sacred space or a hike or anything, don't take things for granted. You never know whose territory you're going through. Like, always live your life full of, I feel like, respect. So whenever you go to an area, always leave it better than when you found it. If I go for a walk on a trail and I find trash, I always pick it up and throw it away. I always have a sense of reverence when I go out in nature, and I have a sense of, this is a beautiful area that I get a chance to partake in and partake of, and it's not mine. And that greatly reduces the amount of negative stuff that you run into, because they see you're a person that walks in balance, integrity, and truth, you know, and that makes a big difference for you. You do good, things will always look out for you. At least that's what I believe. Well, she had gone in on this hike and was just going to go in on her own area. And she said she felt like a prickling sensation on the back of her neck that was saying that you need to leave. And she was like, no, I paid money for this new hiking gear. I'm going to go and continue my hike. She felt the prickling sensation again. Then she felt like little stabbing sensations on her leg, which we later found out were from like this miner's pickaxe that were like, you're in my area, you need to leave. And she had 3 warnings before she finally left, because she was starting to get dehydrated while she was out there. And she thought, well, I'm in the desert, so it must be the sun. It must be the arid air. And it wasn't until she went to her home and things got progressively worse with this glass when she called me and another friend over, and we saw what was going on. And we were able to find a solution with the ghost. It did not want to go back up. So also, you can't force a spirit to move on if it doesn't want to. That's another thing, is they have feelings and needs and desires too. And sometimes they prefer to be down here, or they have a thing that they're not finished with yet. So even though we couldn't help him pass on, he actually had a friend that was in the area that he had a feud with. And we were able to bring the two of them together and do like a little mediation between the two of them. That helps him to be like, you guys are all right. Now he wasn't alone. So he wasn't as grumpy and pissed off all the time. And he had a friend that he could visit with him. And in exchange for helping him, he left her house and he decided to give her a pardon with the understanding that she was no longer allowed to go back in that area again, though. Communication was key in that. Yeah, when I went over there, she used to have cold spots in her house. She would have, like, you would see in the corner of the sides of your eyes, like, things moving and flickering in and out, like little people, or you could see things moving in the inside of her home. I would smell, like, cigarette smoke all the time, and she wasn't a smoker. I'd be like, are you smoking? No. It smells like a pipe. And so those were all the clues. I was like, there's a spirit here. And then when we saw the glass, we were like, okay, now we definitely know there's a spirit here. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much stuff here. There's Native American spirits. There's UFO experiences. There's other demonic experiences out here. I mean, there's just a lot out here.
Wow. So that sounds amazing. And you're convincing me I need to come out and visit you.
Yeah, you should. I actually found a really great group. It's a group of people. Actually, when I was living in Ackworth, that I got connected to with a spiritual group there of just like-minded people that come together for meditation and sharing experiences and sharing healing and results and things like that. That I actually, they moved out to Sedona, and that was the reason why I moved out here with them. It's been a really cool experience still unfolding that. And we have people that come into the groups that have had haunting issues or have had imbalance issues, and we're able to kind of help them find resolve from that. And it's really kind of a fulfilling experience to do that.
Well, it sounds magical and wonderful. Well, I was wondering why you moved out there. Now I know.
Yeah. And also it's quieter.
One of the things you said about Ackworth was that it was a very haunted area, but you seem to have a very different kind of feeling about the hauntings in Ackworth versus the paranormal activity in Sedona. Can you kind of explain the difference?
Yeah, so Sedona, I think, has a lot more breadth or width of experiences that happen here because it's not just an older area. You've got so many different people. You've got the indigenous people. You've got people who come here specifically to go on these spiritual retreats and journeys that attract energies with them. People don't think about that. Energies follow people sometimes. Sometimes people have a whole slew of spirits around them and they don't even know where that they do. You've got people who have, there's a lot of practitioners of different type of energetic philosophies out here that bring things into the area. I mean, there's actually a UFO organization here. The people who like go out and watch UFOs and do things. So there's a lot of stuff that happens out here, more so than in Atlanta, that I would say. And Ackworth, just because it's a very old, especially anywhere around Atlanta, you go to Ackworth, you go to Alpharetta, some of the downtown areas, Roswell, Decatur, any of those old historic locations that still have a lot of buildings that are standing. Because of Atlanta had a lot of Civil War action, there's a lot of Civil War spirits that are there. There's a lot of people from that 1800s to early 1900s time frame in that area. So it's much more prevalent to see that. That's at least most of the time period I saw.
So, okay, I got a personal question. So you've been in my office. Is it haunted?
Your office is haunted as fuck.
Yay! Oh, tell me what you saw there. Please tell me what
and
you saw there.
Not
oh my God.
Exactly your office or your building. It's things that go on a route because spirits are territorial and they go on a route sometimes and they walk through. And it's stuff. There's like a cemetery, I think.
Oh, yeah. The Founders Cemetery.
And
yeah.
So there's stuff that comes from that area that comes through. And there's like a woman that I saw that time that I went through there that was coming through the area. And then another male who was maybe, it's kind of hard to tell the age of a ghost because they can look how they want to look if they're interacting with you. Maybe late 40s, I'm going to say.
And they walked like through my office or were they just
walking in the
out
area? The man came inside of the office. The woman did not. She kind of stayed in the parking lot area and just stayed around the building. But yeah, definitely the guy came in and he was kind of like, who are all these people? What are they doing here? Came in and he was walking through the area, was kind of like heads up, what's going on here?
So a man walked through my office. I can't get past this. All right. I gotta get to know more about this, Franz. So you said, what era would you place him at?
Oh, maybe past in the early 1900s. Like okay. 1910 to 1920, either he passed or that was what he considers his prime time.
So would you say that this was his home then?
No, no, he didn't have an affiliation with the building itself. That building is a very spiritually active area of Roswell. He just felt comfortable to come through into the building.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, the building that dates to 1813, so it would have predated him.
Yeah, I don't feel like he had a connection to the building itself.
He was just kind of passing through, mm-hmm. and he's like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. All right. All right, well, as long as I'm not invading on his space, per se.
No, I don't think so. And I think the lady kind of like, I think the lady is somebody that you had an interaction with before. She had an interaction with you beforehand.
Really? Okay. I'm getting chills. So so what time period would you place her at?
She's probably a little bit earlier, probably in the like mid-1800s or so. Mid to late 1800s, but she predates the male ghost.
And you said I had like an interaction with her before?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I have no idea what that might have been, but that's kind of giving me chills.
So if you get chills, I mean, just think about it and see what you get from the experience. I don't think that you and her are strangers. You brushed against each other before. You all have into sharing space before. In that area, she comes through, or you talk to her, or I don't know, had an experience, I don't know, but it's the sense that you're not a stranger to her completely.
Okay, well, I'm going to explore that further. I actually do go to my office, and of course, now that I've learned that it's fucking haunted as fuck, I'll probably be spending even more time there. Oh man, that's very exciting. Well, Franz, I don't want to keep you too much longer. You have shared so many wonderful stories with us, and it sounds like you're very eager to come back on. So I think we're definitely going to do a part two. So listeners out there, if you liked listening to these stories, stay tuned because we'll have more.
Oh, yeah.
Yay. I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Oh, we thoroughly enjoyed talking to you. This was so much fun.
And there's so many questions I have that I guess I'll ask next time.
Thank you, everybody, for that incredible group of stories and discussion with Franz. That was mind-blowing. Dare I say, I just think that you must lead an incredible life. And I love your outlook on life, Franz, and all that you can teach us about balance and respect and learning to live with all the forces around us. So thank you so much for sharing your insights and your stories with us tonight.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure. I enjoyed it. You two have just been such a tremendous, fun way to kick off my weekend.
Oh, yay! Well, thank you, everybody. Please be sure to check out our show notes to this episode, where we'll include links to any resources that can augment some of the things that you heard tonight. You can find us at homespunhaints.com. Also, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Homespun Haints, on Facebook at Homespun Haints. Our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/homespunhaints. It's a private group, but you can always request to become a member and we'll let you in. You can also find us on Pinterest and Twitter at Homespun Haints, even though we're pathetic about updating both of those. If you like what we're doing here and you want to support our show, please be sure to check out patreon.com/homespunhaints, where we have bonus episodes just for our very special patrons. And for as little as $1 a month, you too can become a patron and get access to that. Again, thank you, Franz, so much. That was wonderful. And
have a very spooky day.
Homespun Haints is hosted by Becky Kielemnik and Diana Doty and produced by The Concept Spot. Editing and music by Becky Kielemnik. Show notes by Diana Doty. If you have a ghost story and you'd like to be considered as a guest for this podcast, please visit our website at homespunhaints.com/submit.